The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
AM 600 The Answer presents the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show, brought to you by Frontline Insurance. If you want to know where those fish are, what those fish are biting, and how to get them in the boat, then you've come to the right place. Captain Vic would love to hear from you, so give him a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here's the host of the Still Just Fishing Show, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. So, Get fired up again on different things. Excuse me. Looking at, of course, now effective last July, the sheephead went down to, you know, 8 per person instead of 15, which I was glad to see. I mean, I'm really, I know a lot of times people are talking about they hate any new limits or regulations, but, you know, some of these species that we've had big bag limits on and stuff, it's time for, you know, us to realize that you can't go out like you used to, you know, years ago and just keep everything you catch, you know. That was, I guess, fine when I was a kid, but, it's not really, when you think about it, it's not really fine. As many anglers have we got now, you know, fishing and all that stuff, and there's a lot more people know how to catch sheephead now than it used to be. Because I tell you, used to, I mean, you know, we're talking 30 years ago, you go out there sheephead fishing on the rocks, you'd see on a beautiful day, you would see on a weekend, maybe 3-4 boats fishing for sheephead up against the rocks. Mm. Everybody else is out dropping dead shrimp down on the bottom, you know, out in away from the rocks.
I think spot lock has everything to do with that.
Well, it does have a lot to do with it.
And, you know, pulling an anchor, losing an anchor out there in those rocks, mm-hmm. that's no fun.
No, it's not. But, you know, over the years, more and more people have been targeting sheephead and learning how to catch them. And, I mean, it's nothing to go out there and see, you know, 75 boats, you know, up and down the rocks on the inside and outside, just, you know, counting how many people are sheephead fishing, compared to what it used to be, you right. know. So you have to realize, you know, I mean, that's a lot of fish being taken out of the river, so, you know.
Well, thankfully, I haven't really heard them too much.
You will. You just learn more and more, you know.
Yeah.
It just takes time on the water. That's what it mainly takes for any species, actually, you know, and locations and stuff like that.
I'm thinking about calling my boat God Bless the Blennies. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been a rod many times.
We just put on their BB.
Yeah. <You know? laughs> Oh, my.
But, no, actually, you know, certain times of the years, that's what you catch mostly, you know. I mean, if you go out there in October when the sheephead first start biting good, you know, and I say biting good, a lot of people don't realize you can catch sheephead all year. I mean, you don't have to just do it in the wintertime. I mean, we talk about sheephead season, but if you go out there, I mean, I've taken people out in July and August and caught sheephead. It's just that you don't catch as many as you do when the water temperature is down lower.
And smaller.
You know.
I think the average is because the breeders are in right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on average, probably. I mean, but, you know, the breeders usually, are spawning this time of the year, and that's kind of, we used to talk about how they spawn in real deep water, and they'll even, you know, spawn offshore, and that's why I'm thinking, you know, there's probably going to be quite a few people go offshore today in that tournament, because I've seen the post, you know, of people going offshore right. catching them.
Well, last week they had a sheepheads tournament. You know, I know our sheephead tournament is probably one of the biggest.
It is.
Mm-hmm. But they had one on the other coast, and they had 92 anglers just targeting sheephead. Mm-hmm. So these tournaments make a big difference. Awareness, not necessarily the number of boats, but they raise the awareness to mm-hmm. a frenzy level.
Yeah.
The winner over there, by the way, caught an 8-pounder. He won the tournament out of 92 boats. So they had a pretty bad bite.
Is that just on the Gulf Coast?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
I know sometime in March, you go to Steinhatchee, and they go to a little reef that's about 9 or 10 miles offshore. I think it's 9 miles. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
And the sheephead school so much then, and they're spawning. but they don't get as big as the spawners over here a lot of times. I mean, it's rare to see them catch 11, 12, 13 pounder over there, you know. We're over here during this time of the year, you know, it's not really that rare to see people catch those great big sheephead like
right.
that. But usually, I mean, even when it was 15 per person, you'd go over there in that March and all that, and people would go over there and get their limit in like an hour. And you could have three or four guys on a boat and get a limit in about an hour.
I watched two guys limit out. They were chumming with oysters. Mm-hmm. And, in fact, the one guy, I can't remember his name, nice guy, he has a scout boat.
Mm-hmm.
He's won El Cheapo twice, and they were getting ready. It was about 3 weeks before the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And I caught nothing. I saw nobody catch anything, and they were just slinging sheephead over the side.
Mm-hmm.
But they had a bushel bag full of oysters, and they were cracking a few and heaving them over the side.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, they're very good at sheephead fishing.
Right.
Yeah, they're serious about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was pretty depressing.
Yeah. Well,
to watch.
But, you know, I mean, clams and oysters is a big thing that people chum with quite a bit. You know?
Yeah, they were using oysters. I used to fish, and I lived in St. Simon's Island for a while, and there was an old guy, Jake, mm-hmm. and he was a professional sheephead fisherman, if he can be, leaning over a bridge all day long.
Yeah.
And that man would, first he'd go, you'd see him, he'd up on the shoreline, you'd get some oysters, bring them down the bucket. And he liked to use mussels because mm-hmm. they were free.
Yeah.
And we're talking pretty low budget commercial fishing operation.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know how he could stand up after a day of fishing because he'd be leaning over that bridge mm-hmm. with his line right next to the pilings. But he would chum with the oysters and he'd throw down his baits and man, he caught some fish.
Well, that's why a lot of people like to scrape the pilings on bridges,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I know up here in Nassau, those bridge pilings new, they've been scraped so much.
I've done it.
I mean, there's not a barnacle left on those pilings up there.
In New Smyrna Beach, the South Bridge, you'd see guys, a couple guys in particular, they'd see them going out with four fishing poles and a shovel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they were doing. They're scraping the bridge pilings.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things that, I used to live in New Smyrna, but I lived there for 20 years, and a friend of mine lived at the condominiums right around from the inlet condominiums, and the sheephead would get in there, and we'd fish, and we'd just catch them for about a month. They'd be in there, you'd say the sheephead, and we'd go catch them. One time, I was fishing with him, and I caught a sheephead. He caught a sheephead. We're fishing on the same piling. Okay,
mm-hmm.
so we both hooked a fish, we reeled it in, and he had both of our hooks in his mouth.
Oh, yeah.
We each got one fillet. But they're so fast, he hit us both.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Mm. Man. Yeah, we've had redfish do that in the creeks.
Wow.
It was. Pick up two baits. And they could be far away, but, you know, if somebody don't feel him, pick up one.
Right.
And he's just kind of going parallel with the boat instead of away from the boat.
But we're fishing straight down for sheephead.
I've never had
to. No, not paying attention. You know that with sheephead.
Mm-hmm.
And, that fish got both of us, and we both set the hook.
One of the things with sheephead this time of the year when they start in their spawning mode good, when you bring one up to the side of the boat,
mm-hmm.
when you're at the jetties, you always want to look down and look in that water and make sure there's only one, because when there's two, you could actually net both of those sheephead.
Really?
The males will stay right against the females as they're fighting.
I don't need to know everything, Vic.
If you bring them up to the surface, excuse me, and you see the one go back down, drop your pole real quick and let that one go back down and get your net ready, because when you bring it back up, the other one will be right beside it.
Wow.
I mean, almost touching it. And then before you get to the surface, you have to do the fast scoop. But I've scooped up two sheephead like that with only one of them being on the line.
It's like being in a bar at 2:15.
It doesn't happen a lot, because usually when you try to get them with that net, the other one takes off.
Sure.
But I've done it several times like that. It's pretty neat, actually.
That is neat.
Yeah. But now you have to watch him when you put him in the boat, because that's a real green sheephead.
Yeah.
And, you know, those will hurt you.
Yeah.
Those guys know they can hurt you, you know. Them top fins they have are just, yeah. But anyway, give us a call, 222-8255, and we'll be back right after this.
That's right, Jacksonville. You can go to a lot of places in North Florida to buy a gun. But at Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year. How? Wild West Guns buys dealer direct and passes the savings on to you. There's no middleman. You get the factory direct price every time. Plus, at Wild West Guns, you can choose from the very best selection in all of Jacksonville. Whatever you need, Wild West Guns has it. From handguns to hunting rifles, from shotguns to AK-47s, from Glock to SIG, Remington to Vanelli, Bushmaster to Stag, Wild West Guns has got you covered big time. The right gun, the right ammo, the right price, guaranteed. Wild West Guns, Lane Avenue South, Northeast Florida's premier firearms dealer. You get the factory direct price every time. Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year.
If you go along Hexer Drive to fish, you'll find there's a great place for bait and tackle to stop at, and that's Browns Creek Fish Camp, located at 5212 Hexer Drive. They have everything you need for a complete day on the water. Browns Creek Fish Camp is one of the few locations where you can pull your boat in and restock your bait supply if you run out while you're fishing. A big supporter of the Recreational Fish Alliance, give them a call today at 904-757-1600. That's 904-757-1600.
Durance Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Durance Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Durance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848. Lil Hooker Clothing and Accessories, performance apparel for all ages, on and off the water. Lil Hookers offers quality and comfortable apparel for men, women, and children. Make the most of every cast. Don't wear clothing that's in the past. Get your gear today. Contact Brian Dutcher at 904-408-1526. Here's that number again right there. It's 904-408-1526. And remember this, y'all. Lil Hooker don't play. We stay catching fish all day.
Palm Valley Fish Camp, located at 299 Roscoe Boulevard North, or North Beach Fish Camp, located at 103rd Street in Neptune Beach, or Julington Beach Fish Camp, located in Mendrin, has you covered for your day of fishing. Owner Ben Groeschel has set the hook perfectly. Lunch opens Wednesday through Sunday with dinner 7 days a week. Try the main dishes, shrimp and grits and black and mahi. Always check out the fresh fish at the fish camps. All fish camps are a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder. Safe Harbor Seafood, Mayport Shrimp, Seared Tuna, and Spinach. Have your fresh filet, fresh fish, black and grilled or fried, or try their traditional seafood fry platters. Always remember Safe Harbor Seafood, located at 4378 Ocean Street in Mayport, Florida. Restaurant hours are Tuesday and Thursday, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays, 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Safe Harbor is a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
Hey, and we're back this morning. Got Ted on here. Let's get Ted on. Good morning, Ted.
Hey, good morning there, Vic. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing all right, sir. How about you?
I'm doing fantastic. How about you, Bill? How you doing there, brother?
I'm good.
I thought you were thinking about fishing that tournament.
No, I was going to go down there and just and then take in some of that good old food down there and
yeah, man.
Maybe try to do a couple of raffles and stuff like that. But later on, I was going to go out to the beach and Jack's Beach, and Chip Davis has got his booth set up out there at a festival, and I need another hat and a shirt or two.
Yeah, you don't have enough yet.
Chip in a while.
Yeah, you're going to get your hat at the El Cheapo. I hear that they've got a new design on their clothes.
Yeah, I always get another hat from there. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I wanted to see their new design they had, but I didn't, like I say, I didn't fish it. I sure want to see their new design they have.
Yeah, me too. I get one hat every year from there, and usually a shirt too. But I
tell you what, the hoodie that the El Cheapo has.
Yeah, like the one you got.
Yeah, they are so thick, so nice. I mean, of course they got thin ones too, but boy, those thick ones, that's the bomb, man. That is good.
That's the ticket. Yeah. Hey, Bill, we need to go try for some more sheephead.
I don't know if they have those thick ones now this year or not. I mean, it seems like last year they didn't have them either.
Yes, they did.
They did?
Last year they did. I don't know this year.
Yeah, those are great.
They sold
out
of them pretty quick, though.
Yeah, well, maybe you might get out there a little earlier then.
Yeah, I'll have to do that. Hey, Bill, you ready to go try to hit some of those sheephead?
Everybody I tell me says they're not biting.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty slow. I can tell you that right now.
I was thinking about going down to St. Augustine if you want to go.
Yeah, I hear they're catching them down there, and I'm wondering if that the winner of this tournament is either going to come from St. Augustine or it's going to come from offshore. I really think from what they've dredged and stuff like that, and I think from the dredging, the dirty water, all that stuff, I bet you 10 to 1 it's going to come from offshore. Because
I think you're right.
Yeah, because I mean the river really, it's going to be really, like say, kind of it was clear. I mean, it was clean the other day, but it's the incoming tide. When that tide turns and starts going out, oh boy, let me tell you, it was like mud coming down the river.
Yep, you know, the last time I was there, which was a couple of weeks ago, we didn't do nothing. It just muddied up, and then on top of the bad, actually no shrimp run.
Yeah.
It's just been nothing.
And
you can't hardly even find a croaker.
Yeah, when you find a croaker, he's small.
You saw that picture of that little old whiting I caught. It wasn't no bigger than my hand.
Well, I see
how you got on the hook.
I see they're getting a little bigger now, the whiting are.
Yes, sir.
So try to, have to get back out there and try them again. Of course, the best time to catch them is, best time to try them is whenever you get a chance to and get out there,
Yeah. But, I kind of wanted to save today to go down to the El Cheapo and see Chip for a while. And we're going to go down there and just sit and talk about fishing.
Yeah. Well, and, as far as, getting out there like that, as far as getting, a bite going on, I would say today wouldn't have been a good day anyway, unless you're in the tournament because of all the, tournament boats going to be out there and everybody running all over the place, back
all
and
over
forth.
The place.
Yeah. I mean, which is fine if you, don't get a chance to fish during the week. The best time to go is when you can. So if you, if today's the only time you, had a chance to go, then that's the best time to go.
Yeah. Well, I think Gail and I are going to try camping trip again here soon, but
you gonna let it warm up some?
Yeah, a little bit. I want to get that surf a little better. I want to catch me some decent whiting.
Yeah, if you can get out there, I would say probably if it's you're going to have a little bit better of a chance probably now that they're starting to get a little bit bigger,
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, I'll let y'all go and give me a call sometime, and Bill, we'll go fishing again.
He's already stepped out for a minute, but he'll be back.
All right.
y'all have a good one.
All right, Ted. And, you know, I'll talk to you, I'm sure, soon.
Okay.
All righty. All right, buddy. Take care. And, you know, looking at some of these facts on the sheephead like this, we were talking earlier about having some of the, you know, sheephead facts for people. Nutritional facts. One small fillet, and I'm not talking about a, you know, a very big fillet, but a serving size, one fillet. And it doesn't say here how many ounces that fillet is for, you know, for a serving size. But they're saying that on the percent daily values on it, the total fat is 5.74 grams, which is 9%. Saturated fat, 7%. And cholesterol, 40% for one fillet. 40% of your daily value of cholesterol for one fillet for a sheep's head.
What's a trout?
Well, I don't know what the trout is. I don't really know, but I know the sheep's head are one of the higher ones, because of what they eat, which is the, you know, crabs and the shrimp, and of course, you know, because other fish eat shrimp, of course, too.
So bonnet heads are probably in the same category then.
Maybe. I don't know.
Interesting.
But also oysters and barnacles. And that's one of the things that makes the sheep's head so high in cholesterol.
I don't eat a lot of barnacles.
Yeah, I don't either. But sodium, 7%. They don't even have a percent for potassium. It's 962 megagrams, so small, you know, amount. But no dietary fiber, of course, no sugar. And proteins, 48.1 grams. 5% of vitamin A, 5% of calcium, 0% of vitamin C, and 6% of iron. So, you know, looking at that, it's, you know, kind of a strange thing to how they figured that. And I don't know how they figure how much, you know, fat, cholesterol, and all that stuff is actually, you know, in particular fish. I mean, I don't know how they, you know, I can understand when they do a mixture of other ingredients to you know, to know how much cholesterol and stuff's in, you know, a box of brownies or something like that, you know, but I don't know how they do it in fish. And that's something that I would like to find out, you know, if I can. Need to research that and find out.
Yeah, I'd like to know the difference between a sheephead and a trout or a flounder, or, you know, yeah, something to make a decision of what's the difference. I don't know what the difference is.
Yeah, I don't either. Because, you know, when you're thinking about how much cholesterol, you know, shrimp has, and everything eats shrimp. So,
right.
You know, so, I mean, flounder eats shrimp, you know, the trout eats shrimp. So, you know, when you're looking at that, it may be, maybe quite a bit in those too that we just don't know it.
True.
You know. But yeah, I'll have to find that out. I've got other interesting facts about, you know, the trout, about spawning and stuff like that, but I don't have anything about the nutritional facts about it. But I need to look that up. That'd be good to good find. Anyway, they're kind of fractional spawners. What they mean is they only lay a portion of their eggs at a time in inshore waters, typically in March and April. They're feeding mostly on crustaceans and small fish. Now, I've never caught one on a small fish except one time on a mud minnow. And that was, I mean, in all the years I fished here, we caught one time on a mud minnow, and I thought maybe that fish was starving. But that's the only sheephead I've ever seen caught on a fish itself, or a piece of fish or cut bait like that. Now, this says that they, you know, they feed mostly on crustaceans and small fish. But I've just never caught them on that. Of course, I've never used those to target them either.
Right.
You know, so that could be, you know, a little different there. I don't know.
Maybe the fish bones get stuck between their teeth.
We'll be right back.
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM. WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Greg Clugston in Washington. Potentially dangerous weather could be in store today for parts of the southeastern U.S. Today's possible severe weather comes a week after tornadoes ripped through the region. Yesterday, President Trump met with survivors of Alabama's deadly tornadoes that killed 23 people. After a tour, he met with local residents at a Baptist church. Bill Shine has become the fifth communications director to step down after a short stint in the Trump White House. The former Fox News executive who joined the White House last July is leaving to join the president's re-election campaign. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell says that the healthy U.S. economy and low inflation are allowing the central bank to take what he says is a patient wait-and-see approach on interest rates. The stocks closed down on Friday. This is SRN News.
Question, do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-B-I-B-L-E. 877-64-BIBLE.
Homeowners, in today's world, no neighborhood is immune from burglaries. Get a state-of-the-art monitored home security system for Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, and get peace of mind today. Call right now, 1-888-213-2244, 1-888-213-2244. Local permit fees may be required. License number CAACO6320, KY City of Louisville 483, and FLEC13003427. Call for additional numbers. Call now, 1-888-213-2244.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Friday, March 15th at 8 p.m., see and hear Elton John in concert, Farewell, Yellow Brick Road, at Veterans Memorial Arena. Friday, March 15th at 8 p.m., the Jacksonville Symphony presents Verdi's Requiem at the Jacoby Symphony Hall. And Saturday, March 16th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's the Fernandina Beach Marketplace Farmers Market on North 7th Street in Fernandina Beach.
For more information or to have your event included, visit WBOB.com.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio.
Turn your radio on.
Have you heard? The Ted and Sandy Gospel Program can be heard every Sunday from 7 to 8 a.m. on WBOB. Ted and Sandy guarantee to play you some of the best in Southern Gospel, Bluegrass Gospel, and Country Gospel available. They'll give you words of encouragement in your daily life, announce gospel sings, and church events in our area, and much more. Tune in every Sunday morning at 7, right here on WBOB.
How will the weather affect you? WBOB Weather.
Good looking weekend with mostly sunny skies today. Highs of 81, mostly cloudy tonight, down to 63. For Sunday, partly sunny, high 86, partly cloudy Sunday night, down to 63. And about a 20% chance of rain both Monday night, partly sunny on Monday, high 82. Mostly cloudy Monday night, down to 61.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
We're back this morning. We was talking about the sheephead, you know, facts and everything. I was talking about how we've never used fish, mud minnows or anything like that to target sheephead. So I guess that's why we only caught one on a mud minnow one time. But anyway, showing here on additional information, on the tips, it always says use live shrimp, sand fleas, fiddler crabs on a small hook, fished on the bottom. Of course, when cleaning, beware of the sharp gill covers, but that's a whole lot of fish we have here. But
you know that they run from Nova Scotia to Brazil.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, it's a crazy range. And also, South Florida has the east coast has the most sheephead. So we're close to the maximum amount of sheephead there.
And they're showing South Florida.
Yeah.
You said South Florida.
Southwest. Okay. Southwest Florida.
Hmm.
Fort Pierce, Miami. But, yeah, that's a heck of a range for freezing cold Nova Scotia down to Brazil.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I wonder when they target them up there.
I don't know.
I mean, because you got cold water up there all the time.
I was going to say.
You know? So, I mean, if they bite better in cold water, I mean, you know, so. But I'm kind of glad that they're not a real migrating fish here, you know, like they don't really leave and come back, you know, sort of like cobia or, you know.
Run the whole coast.
Excuse me, tarpon, stuff like that, that just completely disappear here. I mean, you know, we do catch them here throughout the summer and stuff like that, too. You know, a lot of times we catch them up in the creeks and all. I like to catch them in the creeks whenever, you know, like usually about the end of June, July, when they're tailing on the oyster beds at those real high tides, you know. That's pretty neat, too, to watch them do that, to watch that tail wave at you. It's not as easy to catch them like that. It's pretty hard. You know, always try to pick you a little live shrimp out of your live well and throw them over there on a Cajun Thunder. You know, I always like to throw it, like, past the fish.
Right,
so you
of course.
Don't spook him, you know, and then pull it over. Because you can always see which direction they're facing, you know, when they're doing that. You know, just by the way their tail is. So, but, you know, as far as, you know, those fish leaving here, I don't know where the majority of them do go. Because you don't hear about them catching a bunch of them during the summer offshore.
I think that offshore there's, you know, one fish per square mile, whereas inshore there's seven fish per square mile. The density, as soon as you get in the ocean, it's...
Mm-hmm.
You know, pretty, it's a wide open spaces.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, like I say, we can, you know, you can catch them here during the summer. It's just not a lot of people fish for them during the summertime.
Right.
I like to fish for them during the summer because you have, you know, usually lighter winds and stuff like that.
What's a big fish in the summer? What's a big sheephead?
5-6 pounds.
Mm, decent then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, you can catch them like that. You know, you can catch them pretty good size like that. So
they said the common sheephead are commonly 10 to 20 inches long on the state website.
Hmm.
So you know it's true.
Yeah. Like you say, it's on the internet.
That's
so
right.
It's on the internet, so you can believe it. But, yeah, the, you know, the sheephead, of course, it says here, deep body compressed marine fish. With the sharp dorsal spines, and of course everybody knows that. And I had one poke me in the leg just about a week and a half ago because he was, you know, always whenever I net him, I try to hang the net on the side of the boat and let him flop around a little bit in the net, and then I can reach down and pick him up because, you know, you don't want to pick up a sheephead as soon as you get him in the boat because he will hurt you, you know. So I'll let him flop around just a minute or so, and then try to pick him up, you know, by the belly, you know.
Right.
And anyway, he wiggled out of my hand, and as he was dropping back down, you know, into the net, because I always have that net, you know, the net part hanging on the side of the boat.
Right.
Inside the boat and hanging on the gunwale. When he fell in there like that, he flipped over, and his spine hit me right in the leg. And, you know, I thought at first it broke it off, you know, but but it didn't, you know. So luckily that was good because I did have one stick me in the finger, and I wound up having to have surgery on that finger.
Yikes.
Yeah, it damaged the nerve. You can see the scar right there. But it had damaged the nerve in that finger, and I made the mistake of trying to catch one when he was flipping, you know, out of my hand. And you don't want to do that. Just let him drop. You know, just keep your feet out of the way and let him drop.
Yeah, you got to worry about infection when you get...
Yeah.
A friend of mine stomped on a catfish.
Oh. Ooh.
Went right through the sneaker.
Yep.
He was in the hospital. It got ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What I like
bad
is when
infections.
When you get the fish and he sticks a hook in your finger and he's still hooked to the hook and he's wiggling around. And you don't know if it's better to get him out of the fish to make him quit wiggling or yank it out of your finger.
Oh, yeah. That's like a...
Fishermen are incredibly brave.
They really are. I mean, you know, I had a treble hook go in my knuckle one time, in this knuckle, trying to grab a trout, and had the treble hook go in there so deep that it was almost poking out on the inside of my finger here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could actually see it as the fish was moving, but when he stuck that hook in there like that, he's flopping around.
Sure.
So the first thing I did was drop on my knees and close my knees up around the fish to try to keep him from flopping, because, you know, that really was very uncomfortable. And finally got the fish off of the hook, you know, after he, you know, I let him calm down quite a bit. And unfortunately, that day I was by myself in the boat. And what I had done was I had a half a day trip and dropped some people off. And we'd be catching a lot of trout not far from the boat ramp. So I thought, well, you know, I'll let them up. I'll go get us a few trout for dinner. And went over there, and the second trout I caught stuck me in the hand like that, you know. So it was kind of weird because the thing wasn't bleeding very much at all, just barely. It was right through the joint in my index finger. And so once I got the fish off, I just, matter of fact, just, you know, tossed him and unfortunately went overboard instead of in the boat.
Naturally.
But anyway, I was more concerned about the hand because I'm thinking, okay, I've got to get this hook out of my hand because I can't be like going all the way back, put the boat on the trailer and all this stuff, you know, with this hook in my hand. So anyway, I thought about trying to push it through and I couldn't. But you could see my skin move on the inside of my finger when I was doing like that because I thought about cutting it off and pushing it through. So I decided to take a pair of pliers and just yank it out. And so I had taken the anchor. I didn't have my spot lock trolling motor at the time. So I had taken the anchor and tried to let it down one hand and tie it off in case I passed out, you know.
Right.
And I sat down on the floor of the boat. In case I passed out.
So you wouldn't fall down.
Yeah, so I wouldn't fall down. And as soon as I, you know, I was kind of moving it a little bit, figuring how I was going to do it, you know. And as soon as I jerked that thing out, I immediately thought I was going to throw up. I mean, I got so nauseated and lightheaded and everything. But after I sat there about 10 minutes, you know, I was okay. And, of course, it started bleeding once you jerked the hook out, you know, but. Because that kind of barb kind of tore it off, you know, tore it up a little bit coming out of there. But I thought myself then, you know, that was pretty dumb move, really, to go, you know, be by yourself out there like that and get a fish stuck in your hand and then or a hook stuck in your hand, I should say.
Yeah.
And those treble hooks are really, you got to watch the things, really dangerous, you know. So. Better to let that fish flop around a little bit than it is to grab him too fresh.
The lure, I hate it when I get lures and it's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
You get it stuck in the net.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the fish and you're in there trying to get it out.
Yeah, because the fish won't sit still.
No. He's fighting for his life, of course.
Exactly. Exactly. He's not going to sit still for you, you know. But, that was something else where you're talking about how far those fish go, you know. And even in these fish facts, they're saying here, it usually weighs, you know, sometimes the fish, the bigger breeder size, usually weighs around 21 pounds. And, I mean, that's like unbelievable. I mean, I've never seen one that big. And
well, considering the Florida record's 15 pounds, that's obviously, you must have got that out of the newspaper because it doesn't seem true.
Yeah. Well, and thinking about that, I mean, I don't know where that, you know, where this information comes from to be a fish that big. There's no telling. It could be, you know, up in New York, Nova Scotia, and, you know, could be.
The world's record's 21 pounds, and it's been in place for over 20 years.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like it's been broken.
No. I mean, I did see the picture of the guy that says he ate the world record. I don't know if you saw that on the internet. He had a big old, here in Jacksonville, but that was a state record.
State record, yeah.
Yeah.
You're talking Tony.
Yeah. I don't know who it was, but he said he caught this, had a heck of a big fish in his hands.
Yeah, Tony Eden.
Yeah.
Guy that owns Boatronics.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, he had a huge one.
Mm-hmm.
And caught him at the little jetties over there.
Mm. Yeah, but
anyway, Got one more segment to go, so 222-8255. Give us a call. We'll be back.
Durance Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Durance Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Durance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848.
You can always trust Captain Vic to put you right where the fish are biting. Just like you can always trust Frontline Insurance to insure your home with the best coverage possible. At Frontline, we'll help you create an action plan with our trusted vendors and contractors to make repairs to your home. The best part? We'll help pay the cost of those eligible home repairs. Now that's smarter insurance. Find your local Frontline agent at frontlineinsurance.com. Frontline Insurance, building home partnerships with coastal Floridians since 1998.
Trolling Motor Services Plus is now open for business. They're an authorized dealer and warranty service center for Minn Kota, Motor Guide, and Rodan Trolling Motors. They're also your home for power pole anchors and Cannon downrigger service and repair. Trolling Motor Services Plus sells, repairs, and installs pretty much anything electrical for your boat, including keep alive oxygen systems. Call Matt today at Trolling Motor Services, 573-0480. That's 573-0480. Check them out online at trollingmotorservicesplus.com.
When you have insurance needs, be sure to visit Angler and Dimitri Insurance Services agent Craig Van Brocklin for a personalized quote on auto, home, boat, life, and commercial insurance. Save time and money with protection you can count on. Give Craig a call at 904-899-1106. That's 904-899-1106 for Dimitri Insurance Services.
Lil Hooker Clothing and Accessories, performance apparel for all ages, on and off the water. Lil Hookers offers quality and comfortable apparel for men, women, and children. Make the most of every cast. Don't wear clothing that's in the past. Get your gear today. Contact Brian Dutcher at 904-408-1526. Here's that number again right there. It's 904-408-1526. And remember this, y'all. Lil Hooker don't play. We stay catching fish all day.
Cross Creek Steakhouse and Ribs on Lane Avenue between I-10 and Normandy Boulevard on the west side. The home of great baby back ribs, steaks aged and cut by their in-house butcher, and the best shrimp in town. Come in and try one of their great combination platters. Make sure you try their southern side dishes. Are you having an event? Cross Creek Catering can make it special. They cater events from 5 to 5,000, every kind of food. Call 783-9579. That's 783-9579. Visit their website and look at their catering and takeout menus. Cross Creek, the taste of old Florida.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
It must have been. I mean, these things must have had to come, you know, must have been up the river somewhere, you know, eating,
horses.
Eating, yeah, I was going to say eating, small other fish and probably eating great whites and stuff.
Guys in dugout canoes. Yeah. We're talking about shark's teeth.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, my boss had found a big one down at Lions Club Park years and years ago, and that thing was huge. I've seen some on like TV and the internet and stuff like that from where they found prehistoric shark's teeth, but this one he found down there from where they had dredged it up out of the St. John's River downtown. So, I mean, that's just crazy, you know. Of course, I looked and looked and looked down there, got off work, went down there and kept looking.
Somebody told me the island, right there when you go across the Dames Point Bridge on the right, they find a lot of those there, and they find prehistoric horses and that sort of stuff on that island. But you're not supposed to be on it.
You're talking about the island that's under the Dames Point?
Yes.
Oh, okay. It's Quarantine Island. Yeah, we used to rabbit hunt on that island.
Really?
Yeah, before the government.
It's got like a reservoir at the top?
That mud lake?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's they created that to dredge and
pump
the mud and all in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's supposed to be a pretty good place for that sort of thing.
I would imagine dredging out of the river like that, you know, if you didn't get up there and get stuck in the mud lake, but, you know.
Right.
But, yeah, my dad used to raise, or used to train rabbit dogs. Nice. That would chase rabbits and bring them around to you. And you could holler or whistle either one, let the dogs know where you were at, and they would go out and chase the rabbits and chase them back towards you.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, that's how we used to rabbit hunt. And the islands out there were full of swamp rabbits. I mean, they're like the islands off the intercoastal are full of them, stuff like that. You know, they go through the marsh and here and there. Swamp rabbits, in case people don't realize what they are, if you're going out Hexer Drive right before daylight, a lot of times you'll see the little brown rabbits on the side of the road. That's the little swamp rabbits.
They got so many cats now, there's not.
Yeah, probably.
You go out to Joe Carlucci, there's nothing alive out there.
Yeah, out there. I mean, you know, people dump a bunch of cats out there.
Yeah, it's terrible.
And at Jim King, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but yeah, I used to see a lot more rabbits up and down Hexer Drive, but that may be why there's not as many out there. But we used to hunt on Quarantine Island, and I don't know. I guess the government owned it back then, too. But, you know, I mean, they didn't keep you from hunting out there. You know, and you know, it's so weird. We never saw any wild hogs out there. Since then, you know, I have trout fished around that island, and I've seen wild hogs on that island.
Huh.
Now, what was so strange is when I was growing up and we rabbit hunted, we never saw a hog out there.
I thought pigs couldn't swim.
I did too. I don't know. I don't know if somebody took them over there or, you know, got them started over there or what happened, but we've seen them over there now.
Well, hunters didn't used to be the bad guys either. Now we're the bad guys.
And I tell you what, there's a creek. I don't know if you've ever seen deer in the marsh.
No.
But there's a creek. Of course, there's deer up and down, like on Pelote Island, which is that big island in Clapboard Creek. You go by going up Clapboard on the left there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big buck on that island. I mean, we've seen him several times. But there's a creek, like if you're going through from Clapboard to the Intercoastal,
mm-hmm.
and it's the one where you come out at Marker 77 down there by Fort George Inlet. You can go all the way through there and come out right there at Marker 77.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's right before you get to the Intercoastal in that creek, there's a little creek takes off and goes way up, a couple of miles up in the woods there. And it's where I used to take customers, and when we'd go fishing, and it'd be like, you know, 25 knots out of the northeast wind, be real cold or whatever. We'd go up in there and kind of warm up a little bit before we went back fishing. I've never really caught over one or two fish in there at a time. I mean, it's just, I don't know why they're not in there very thick. But there's a lot of oyster beds up in there when you get way up in there. And to see a deer hop across those oyster beds with the hooves that they had was unbelievable to me.
That is
crazy. I mean, I've seen them up in there a lot jumping across those oyster beds, and it's like just crazy because you would think it would just cut them up.
Yeah.
You know, their hooves would like go in between the shells.
Sure.
And would cut them up, and maybe it does a little bit, but those deer can just go right through there like it's nothing.
Hmm.
You know, it's crazy. There's also hogs in there too.
I've seen some hogs fishing. Yeah. I saw a panther fishing. Seen?
Did you see him from Simpsons Creek? The panther?
No.
Oh, okay. There's one in there.
No, I was fishing up in New Smyrna.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I've seen foxes.
Mm.
A lot of bobcats. You know, I wanted to tell you about this friend of mine. I go fishing with. He's, you know, kind of new to the fishing thing, and he's a nice guy. He's fun to fish with. And I told him last week we went out, and I said, now we're going to, it's real cloudy. It's not too windy. So we're going to start topwater fishing.
Hmm.
He's like, oh, why do you do that? And I'm thinking, oh my God, I got to teach him how to walk the dog and everything else, yeah. You know. But he does what you tell him.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, now here's the deal. when you get a strike, you're going to set the hook. And you shouldn't. But I promise you will. Mm-hmm. He goes, no, I won't. I won't.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So we're fishing. And sure enough, he gets a big blow up on his lure and freaking almost sunk it in his own leg. It was so funny.
Yeah.
But, I said, now, I promise you're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, uh-uh. I said, okay. But we had fun.
You can't help it.
Mm-mm.
You know, and, it takes a lot of patience to be able to not do that. You know what I mean? It's even at times, especially if you're throwing it, you know, casting, and then all of a sudden you get a strike, you know, you haven't had a strike in a while.
So right.
Cast, you know, it's hard to do that. But, you know, as far as, you know, customers doing it, I always tell them, you know, wait till the rod bends, you know, because sometimes they will blow up and miss it. And, I don't know how they do it sometimes, especially trout. They can knock that lure clean out of the water.
That last trout I caught three times.
And not get hooked.
Yeah, he went after it three times before he finally took it.
I could hook myself tying it on, you know? Yeah. And they could just come out of nowhere, hit that thing, and not get hooked. It's just amazing to me, you know? But I don't know. But it's part of the fishing thing, you know? But as far as... getting out there this week. Are you going to go fishing this week?
I don't think so. You know, it's hard to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like to get out twice a week.
What I'm going to...
depends on the weather.
Yeah, what I'm going to be doing is... I got one trip for some bull reds. And then, try to get some keeper reds up in the creeks and stuff. And what I'd like to do is get back out, depending on how many people I have at times, I'd like to get back out there and start throwing some lures, you know, for trout again. I haven't done that in a while because I've been doing a lot of sheep's head, drum, and, you know, redfish. So I would like to get back on the trout again if I can. So
I have the trout. You know. I've still been doing best with the DOA and that Sebile, that small Sebile that dives 8 feet.
Mm-hmm. And that shows that they're deep then.
Fast.
How much weight is the DOA? Because you can get them at 1/4 ounce, half ounce.
I don't think it matters too. My experience.
What do you like?
I use a smaller one because I found there's no difference in the rate of sinking because the heavier one's bigger and has just as much resistance. And the hard thing about the DOA is to keep it down.
Mm.
You know, if you start winding it, forget it.
Yeah.
You got to have slack in your line so that thing will sink.
Mm.
So I like the big one if there's no wind and you can cast. But pretty much I use the smaller one.
Mm-hmm.
And that Sebile is fantastic, as fast as you can crank it.
I always like the smaller lures anyway because of the smaller, like, plastics. They look like shrimp, like the gulps even. I like the 3-inch more than I do the 4-inch.
I use 3-inch swimming mullet gulps.
Mm-hmm.
But I've lately been doing better with the ratty old natural colored DOA.
Mm. You can't beat it as long as you're doing good on them. Mm-hmm. You know? That's the big thing. Whatever you're catching them on, that's what you want to use, of course. I appreciate you coming in, Bill. It's a pleasure to have you on the show again.
Well, that's fun as always.
And
I'm making this stuff up, right?
Oh, yeah. No, because I've heard you like the DOAs a lot, so I know you're not making that up. So, anyway, we'll be back next week, and stay tuned for... Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. They'll be right on after we get.
And good luck to you, sheephead fishermen today.
Yes, good luck for everybody in the tournament.